This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. Hour three on this, as pages come flying out of the printer and all over the floor. there we go. You get that little tray thing, and as the printer runs, the little tray keeps receding back in backwards, and if it gets to a certain point, it's not helping you at all. It's not keeping the pages stacked up. I've kept Bill Downs stacked up because, Bill, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
How was your off season?
Pretty good. Got down to Florida a little bit to relax and all that. So a little more, I guess, a little more tan than normal for opening day at Indiana Grand yesterday, but all in all, a decent off season.
Nice. Well, if you came in, fit and ready and tanned, you're going to be way ahead of most people who we're stuck inside for months on end. So well done.
Yeah. Well, it's a life of a track announcer. Sometimes you work, and then you got some time off. So I decided to take advantage of that little time off and get a little sunshine, if you will.
Nicely done. I wish I could say the same. And we ended up kind of sequestered, but the travel resumes with a trip to Kentucky. And actually, now that I don't know why I hadn't thought of this until now. I head for Derby on Friday. There's certainly no reason for me not to zip up to Shelbyville for a card next week.
Yeah. Why not?
Next week,
it's, this week we start off slowly with just 2 days a week.
Yes.
Then we'll add Mondays next week. So that'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Do that for a couple weeks. And then in the month of May, that's when we'll add Thursdays. And Thursdays will be a little bit later. We normally start at 2:25 p.m. Thursdays we're going to start at 3:25 p.m. So that will be the schedule as we go forward these next few weeks from April into May.
Well, then I think I've just mentally committed. Usually I get one visit in to a Keeneland trip, and we're going to add an Indiana run as well.
Yeah,
afternoon.
It's fairly simple. You just go up by 65 and eventually got to cut over a little bit. But with GPS, it's no problem at all. It's a couple hours, I think, at most.
Yeah.
So if you're down in Louisville, it's not bad. And no matter where you're in Kentucky, it's not that bad either. I know from my place to Keeneland, it's like 3 hours. So, it's nothing. Nothing too bad, and so 2.5 from Indiana Grand to Keeneland. So no matter where you're at in Kentucky, you can get up here.
Well, and of course the tri-state area when it comes to from Dayton, Cincinnati, through to Indy and down and around. Everything is pretty much within a fairly easy an easy trip. You know what I wouldn't mind doing? That's between essentially in that corridor. I'd love to drive through Milan, Indiana, the famed origin story of Hoosiers, is right in the lower, southeastern corner.
Yep. Very small town. I know
that.
What, a couple thousand people. I love that movie, by the way. So, I've never done it myself.
I'm going to do that.
A little bit, west of Cincinnati out there.
Well, and on a similar story that's basketball and Indiana related, I was driving to, I can't remember if I was driving to or from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, cutting along, and I either realized I was, not far from Valparaiso or I saw a sign for Valparaiso. And I got off the highway and went, you know, straight south. It was about, I don't know, what, half an hour south of I can't remember what I was on, you know, traveling from Ohio, you know, toward Chicago. And it was actually during the tournament. And the campus was pretty much empty because a lot of the kids had gone to wherever Valpo was playing. But I had never seen their campus, and it's kind of a funky little campus with it's kind of like on a side hill, and there's like the buildings are sort of, you know, plopped here and there, and there's that familiar chapel that always seems to get shown. So I stopped at some little store and got a Valpo sweatshirt. So I am eligible to do this kind of thing.
Well, I've only been on that campus once, and I graduated from Marquette University. So when Marquette was pretty good a few years back, they played Valparaiso. So I coaxed my late father to meet me. He was in Chicago. I was in Columbus at Beulah Park. And so some winter evening, we met at some bar to get each other the tickets and all that. And, Marquette won the game. They were ranked at the time and we were there. And it's like a big high school gym. I can't say it's not an arena by any means. It's basically, for Indiana purposes, a giant high school gym. And Marquette won. And I remember I had to drive back, and it was like, I don't even know how I got back because there was so much snow on the way back, and I had to go about 4 hours. It literally took me about 8 hours to go like 3.5 hours. So, but I just remember that. That was the only time I've been on the Valparaiso campus. I know they're going to change their nickname, too, I believe. I think they're getting politically correct and changing their nickname. So I don't think they're going to be called the Crusaders anymore or whatever they're called. I thought I saw that as well.
Interesting. I wasn't aware that I guess Crusaders, I guess it could come under fire. I didn't realize that.
Everything can come under fire.
Exactly. Right. I've discussed this before. You know, I went to Colgate, and we were the Red Raiders forever, and it was never meant to be an Indian. An Indian was sort of grafted on at some point, like in the 50s. But the Red Raiders was a term that a sports writer utilized in the 20s. You know, they coined because the Colgate had a maroon stripe on their pants, and the sports writer called them the Red Raiders of the Shenango Valley. And Colgate didn't even have a sports nickname at that time. They were the Colgate Maroon. And then, you know, suddenly it became the Red Raiders. And at some point, you know, after Dartmouth started all this, when they dropped the Indian, Dartmouth really is the one that got this awareness kicked off. And so at some point, at Colgate, they say, well, we're going to drop the Red, but we were never Indians. it was like nobody should be taking offense to this because it wasn't really an Indian nickname.
Yeah, well, I've been through it myself. You know, Marquette used to be called the Warriors.
And, that's right. That's right.
They changed it. They didn't know what to call themselves. And when they finally, when the dust settled, they've been known as since the Golden Eagles.
Well,
but same thing, you know. Yeah, it's just funny how some franchises, some institutions, whatever, they've changed it over the years, where others, you know, like the Braves, the Florida State Seminoles, all the Blackhawks in Chicago, they've kept it the same over the years. And we've seen with the Redskins, obviously, as well, with Washington, the football team.
There's a debate going on right here and near us, the football powerhouse. In fact, where our sons were stars in Cambridge. And there's a big debate going on here where the Cambridge Indians and whether they're going to continue with it. It's funny that Marquette it's one thing, you know, for those that are involved in the appropriation concept that have switched. But when you mention the bird, it makes me think of Lehigh. And Lehigh, you know, was the engineers, and they they changed their nickname to the Mountain Hawks. It was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? What was wrong with it? And I guess it was because they didn't want to be confined as an engineering school. But there was also Binghamton. Binghamton was the Continentals, and which because of a house on the campus. And they became the Bearcats. It's like, this is just stupid. You're changing your name. Whether it's like these minor league teams now. The minor league baseball teams all are changing their nickname because of apparel sales and hats and logo stuff, as opposed to the great, you know, traditional names that you know we all grew up with that we knew.
Yep, I know. There's some team in Carolina has got some funny nickname
Please.
Something turkeys or something like that.
Yeah, they've come up with all kinds of the sand gnats, you know, stuff like that. There's some crazy obscure regional thing that they celebrate and they turn it into a cartoon logo to sell more jerseys and hats. It's pretty funny. Now Marquette's a lovely place. I used to go to Milwaukee. Our longtime baseball fantasy league that I've been involved in, it's gone. Sadly, four of the guys have passed away, but one of them was from Wauwatosa, so we would go from Philly to Chicago to Milwaukee, and you know, we'd kind of circulate or Florida. We'd have our spring get together, and more than once. And if we didn't, it's funny, if we didn't go to Milwaukee for our draft, we would all meet in Milwaukee for a, you know, just for a weekend. And we used to go to County Stadium to see the Brewers.
Yeah.
We went to the Wisconsin State Fair once, which was unbelievably fun, Bill. I've never.
Oh yeah.
Incredible state fair.
Yes. Between Summerfest on the lakeshore and the Wisconsin State Fair. It happens a little bit after Summerfest, which is around the 4th of July. Wisconsin people know how to have a good time because in the summertime, weather is nice, really nice. But then wintertime is not so nice, so you got to get out when you can. And they have two great things in Summerfest, and that State Fair is top-notch.
Oh, State Fair was crazy fun, and I've never seen so much. I've never seen so much ridiculous food, I've mentioned. I don't know if I've ever mentioned on the show. They were doing roast corn, you know, on a big open, you know, 55-gallon drum type barbecue, where they peel the shuck back. They peel back the silk and that becomes a handle, and they roll it, and it gets roasted. Then they take the whole stick of corn and dip it in a vat of butter. And so then they hand it to you, and the butter is dripping down the silk down your arm. It's the most obscene, unbelievable. That's my recollection, and lots of fried cheese curds. I don't know if you were listening earlier before I reached you, but I had to get Randy Klopp on the show.
Yeah, Randy with his three wins.
Right?
I mean, it was something, yeah. I caught the back end of it. You know, he mentioned the track being open during the off season, and guys like, you know, I would check out the workouts, you know, even in, you know, early March, and just see what, you know, who's got horses and who's working out horses. And, you know, Marvin Johnson kind of struck me, and he got a win yesterday with a big upset. But Randy Klopp, I'm like, man, Randy's got a lot of horses. So, it was, I guess, you know, slightly surprising to see him win three in a day. But at the same time, it seems like he's got more opportunities, and he's got, you know, a good mix of young horses. And you know, you mentioned Dilettante, who's on the card today, who's got a chance, and I guess what we'll call our feature race. And he's probably going to have comparatively speaking, a better year than what he's had in years past.
It's interesting because when I reached Eric for his number, and Eric said, you know, he was one of the horsemen, and Randy just laid it out for us, you know, that rather than take the string down to Tampa, he stayed on and trained on site, and the, you know, having Indiana Grand Open to train year round, that ended up being a boon. And Eric said he wasn't surprised that he fired like that. And there's no reason, you know, with another seven that he runs today, he's got five in on Monday. You know, it feels like he's poised to hit the ground running. And even though, you know, he did not have a win on the year going into yesterday, he had gotten shut out in like 30 starts at Turfway. But as he said that most of his horses did not take to the Tapeta. But what they will get out of those Tapeta races is fitness. And so yep. I think that that's going to really pay off. And then you can even hear him planning. I asked him about Niagara Charlie today in that eighth race. Yep. That's a turf horse that he says, you know, he's in for the run and in for, you know, get tightened up, and Deshaun Parker sees fit to ride, but that's a horse he says look for him long on the turf when grass starts next month.
Yep, I heard that part as well.
Nice. Well, before we talk about any handicapping today, some overview, you know, from your perspective as you're prepared for the meet.
Well, I was interested to see how jockey Jose Bautista would do. You know, he was like six in the standings down at Tampa Bay Down, so you would think that that would translate up to Indiana Grand. We've seen, you know, Fernando de la Cruz do well down south in the past and be a leading jockey at Indiana Grand. And Jose Bautista got off to a pretty good start with a couple of wins. So I'm not going to make any bold prediction like he's going to win the jockey title or whatever. You know, it's a long run in, you know, you got to stick around a lot and hopefully obviously stay healthy and all that. But he seems like he's going to be near the top of the leaderboard. I mean, it's a pretty, pretty deep jock colony. You know, we know the Deshaun Parkers of the world, Ronnie Prescott, Fernando, Marcelino Pedroza, the list goes on. We'll see as the summer goes how everything's going to happen with the Kentucky jockeys. Obviously, I don't know what the latest policy is, but I think by the end of the meet, we're going to see the Kentucky jockeys be able to pretty much travel where they want. You know, obviously that was all due to the pandemic last year, and obviously going into this year still. You know, I was happy to see that. Last year we made some headlines with the pick five and a low 11.99%, and Eric was able to get the pick four takeout reduced to 15%, and I think that's great in terms of betting. Probably my biggest highlight going into our season as well. You know, we'll slowly pick away and try and get some takeout popular bets reduced. And that's another one this year, with the pick four down to 15%.
He talked about that on Monday, and, you know, really everything that Indiana Grand has tried to do when it comes to the menu and the takeout structure, you didn't expect to get Canterbury to come along with that 10%, but you know, the 11.99 was a clever you know, advertising concept, and you know, when it comes to big multis, public, for the public, for the horse playing public, you know, these are real bonus numbers when you're you know, down in the 15, you know, 12% range. It's almost even hyper aggressive, frankly, because the multi-race wagers, they only take takeout once. So when you're talking pick four, pick five, it's a real bonus situation. I mean, you're throwing money at the player, because the place where the industry needs to try to whittle down is in the win play show and in the, you know, the shorter exotics, the tries and the doubles and the exactas. You know, those get it down in the 17, 16, 15 on those. There's still too many venues that are in the mid-20s, and, you know, those are the bets that, you know, as an industry, we need to, you know, figure out a way to get everybody to make an effort and help the churn and keep players, keep money in players' pockets longer. And, you know, Indiana Grand's been trying to do that on the front end.
Yeah, we're trying. You know, there's, you know, it's a complex, I guess, issue. It's just to singularize it. There's so many different facets to it, and you can go on for hours. so I won't bore everybody with that. But
it's an important topic.
I mean, especially I'll say this: especially with sports betting coming on in every seems like every state. I know Arizona's probably going to probably be approving it real soon. So even a place like in Nevada with Las Vegas, they're going to have to. They've got some antiquated policies out there, believe it or not. And how they deal with stuff. So if Arizona comes on, you know, granted Arizona's had some issues with horse racing and, you know, getting things, everyone on the same page, but, you know, if they come on and do some right things, it probably will force Nevada to do something. So in terms of getting more modern with their policy. So, it's a good thing. And at least it's a great thing. I know with Eric, he's, you know, been about takeout reduction at different places in his career. So it's, I just was very happy to see that in the off season when the pick four got reduced to that 15% takeout.
Well, and we'll be watching for the live look. I don't think anybody's rooting for the stewards to look at anything, but when it does happen, we're going to get the opportunity to look into the steward stand and watch them watching to make their decisions. Let's dive into the card. Bill Downs with us, first visit of the season, and of course, you know, just the 2 days of racing this week at Indiana. Things pick back up next Monday. Very heavy maiden card today. In fact, four straight maidens in a row. And we got two Indiana breds on either end, the fourth and the seventh, and in the middle, the fifth and the sixth are open company maiden specials, all going short. Then there's a nice open company allowance, and then there's a nice Indiana bred allowance. And we touched on some of this with Randy Klopp, but take us wherever you want on the card, Bill, and I'll follow along and interject if there's anything that I see.
Yeah, well, I figure I moved myself over to the fourth race, the start of in the middle of the card, that maiden race, and Randy's got that horse, Victor Secret, not the fastest workout in the world, but Randy won with the first time starter, so. Yesterday with a big price horse. So I certainly got to use that horse. Run Rudy Run, the five, you know, it was a race in very, very green. This son of Pass Rush, who that was a very, very good race. That's down. Let's Ride was the winner. And he ran great that day. So I will watch the betting action on Run Rudy Run a little bit. And Betty's Legacy to the Outside, I don't know if 5 furlongs is going to be too short for him, but did it get off to a poor start last time out. Now makes a trainer switch to Randy Klopp. But I just don't know if 5 is going to be his forte, but I guess he'd be worth a look. So a lot of question marks going in that race number 4. And then in the 5th race, that will be a start of our pick 5. Another maiden race, and a couple horses I circled in here. Pioneer's Candy, the four horse, got claimed last time out for $30,000. First three races in her career on synthetic going long. Had the outside post, broke well, but just got, you know, it's such a short run in that turn at Turfway going that mile distance. Was stuck out very, very wide around that first turn. Had the lead going into the far turn, I believe, and then folded up her tent, if you will, and finished 6th. But doing something completely different. Now we're on real dirt, and we're sprinting. And there seems to be some speed in this race. Dark Honey, the 7 for Ray Hernandez, chased and actually got the lead in the middle stages of a very, very fast pace at Turfway Park, and then faded in the last furlong. So I thought that was a decent effort. Show Me the Best, though, is the same sort of filly where she's got a lot of early speed. So I'm hoping that Pioneer's Candy, I don't think she's obviously as quick as the 7 and 8. I'm hoping to get a mid-pack trip and try and run them down. I made the Maker filly a winner seller, the favorite at 5-2, a daughter of Strong Mandate. She's a half to a minor winner. Nothing great, but the workouts at Tampa and Keeneland seem to indicate some running ability, and you get Deshaun Parker. So just for the human connections, I decided to make winner seller the favorite in that fifth race.
And what's tricky about actually all four of these maiden races is you've got, some horses that have been running, and then you got these firsters that, are interspersed. And so you got to do a little bit of pedigree work. And, you look at a race like the sixth, the assumption is that Brad Cox, is going to have a live player in Meadowbrook Road, who you made, logically the 8-5 favorite.
Yeah, Brad brings lots of horses up to Indiana Grand, and occasionally there'll be a monster like a Monomoy Girl. But mm-hmm. a lot of times these horses can need a race as well, and they all seem to get bet, and that's the problem as the handicapper. It's not like he doesn't win with some of these horses, but you're usually taking a short price on a lot of them, and that's the problem. It's hard to really know, unless you're a clocker or you know somebody in the Cox barn, which ones are necessarily live. But daughter Cairo Prince cost $50,000 to purchase. The workout at Keeneland on March 27th from the gate certainly is something that I circled. But there's others in here that can run a bit. I'll give you a couple of price horses I think that I like. Beachside Bunny, I thought ran a much improved race. And yeah, it was on the turf, but it was down at Tampa, shifted out. But watching the video of the race replay, she was really running on late. I thought nicely. And she, it was a little bit of a bump at the start, wasn't major, but I think she's going in the right direction. And Miss Betty Lute for Raymond Cat had the rail, and she didn't seem to like that rail too much. Now she has an inside post again, but at least it's not the inside, if you will. I thought she showed some improvement at Turfway, and those Turfway races are not too shabby as well. You got a Mary Prankster who's finished second, for Kitty Rich Stables at Turfway and at Indiana Grand on the turf. So first time on dirt with hers, a daughter of Distorted Humor. And Spidey Shrill has been in the money a few times as well. So even though Cox has got the morning line favorites, and she certainly could win, but I don't know. I'm going to, for sure I would go too deep because I like Beachside Bunny probably as my top choice, even though it is the rail. It's still, I think, an intriguing maiden race at that sixth race for fillies and mares.
Nice. Seventh, we did get some insight from Randy about Red Licorice, who's going to be a price. And you've got, I've got the eighth in front of me. Let me turn back to the seventh. Merrill Roberts comes from Hawthorne already, a Hawthorne starter. Sky Judge. Here's an Indiana bred that hasn't seen Indiana company since the end of the meet last year.
Yeah, that's why I kind of made him the 5-2 second choice. I made the Lauer horse, who's had a series of second place finishes. The favorite, there is a first time starter I think might be worth a look, and it's Thunderbolt Zeus on the outside for Scott Mullins. Now Scott's not known for winning with first time starters, I get it, but it's not like he starts a mother load of first time starters every year. But this horse has a good workout on November 5th of last year, and then they kind of just they're kind of eased into it. I'm gonna be very interested to see if this horse takes any money. And Pataki Kid doesn't have that many He was a black type stakes winner in his career, won the, like the, I think a stakes at Arlington, if I remember correctly. So he's
Tom Proctor,
speed wise, but a limited number of first time starters, and they've done all right, stats wise. So I'm going to throw Thunderbolt Zeus in there no matter what. Then after that, your guess is as good as mine. You know, Strong Words was not bad running on late in his last race in the middle of last year. But he showed improvement. That was just the maiden claiming race. Now in the first time in the barn of George Leonard III, he's another one I thought was a little bit interesting. So this is, I think, an interesting race. I don't know if I would single in the pick five or the pick four, but it's I'm definitely going to be using Thunderbolt Zeus no matter what on the outside.
Nice. 6-1, Rodney Prescott. Go to the eighth, and this is the co-feature, the open company feature, and I think Randy made a pretty good case for Dilettante, Gennaro Garcia. It's funny, Garcia's got a pair in here, Bill, and Naughty Alfred's
He scratched one. Just one of the
Secretary of War?
The Naughty Alfred, yeah.
He scratched the favorite.
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting, because Secretary at War is a horse, of course, that everybody, you know, certainly New Yorkers, when he go, you know, go back to Jimmy Jerkin's days with Secretary at War, not thought of as a dirt horse, but on a class perspective, he certainly fits. He spent the winter on the synthetic. He's 8-1, and obviously with the favorite coming out, money's going to flow to Nacho Correas, Peruvian Boy, and I suppose to Randy Klopp with Dilettante. Contreras has got Music to My Ears with Manny Esquivel. I mean, Secretary of War is still going to be no better than what, fourth choice.
Yeah, you think. The big question mark is, you know, first time on dirt. I mean, it's something that certainly the wild card in the race.
Yeah.
I have this race wide open. So if I'm putting the ticket together, this is probably a race that I'm using at least three. And Secretary of War might make the cut. You know, Peruvian Boy spent the last couple months down at the fairgrounds. But his record's not that great. 1-for-20, five seconds and five thirds. He lost a pretty good horse last time out on March 19th, Verb, who before that race that he won, came into the race off a pretty good fourth place finish in a stakes race at Sam Houston. So he took good company there. And if you look at the races before that, he's, you know, third, second, and second. Granted, the two were on synthetic, but if he runs to that race on March 6th, I certainly consider him a top contender in here. Dilettante, there are a lot of horses that want to press the pace, but not necessarily be on the lead. I think he has the potential to get to the front end if he breaks. And I think that would be beneficial for him, whether or not he's good enough. The starters and the optional claiming races are all right, but, you know, they're not running for big pots. You know, this is a big, I think a big step up. In class for Dilettante, but he likes the racetrack. He likes the distance. You know, if it was wet, he'd move up even more. But so he's interesting as well. You know, Music to My Ears ran kind of a sour race first off the claim for Cipriano Contreras at Oaklawn Park, but it was at Oaklawn. But he finished dead last in the race. Maybe he can improve. Boom 5000. It probably ran two of his best races. On synthetic at Turfway Park in the last few months as well. So, like I said, this is a very wide open race to me, and I don't have a single or anything like that to offer. Like I said, I'd probably be at least going three deep, even though we're down to a field of seven.
That gets us to the anchor leg of the pick five. Of course, the Nightcap is a quarter horse going 300 yards. But in this Indiana Bred Allowance, this is a really interesting field. Did anybody scratch out of this, by the way?
No, everyone's in.
Wow. We were kind of hoping for maybe, 12 horse field and a lot of seasonal debuts. That can throw you a curveball. I was trying to come up with a price.
Yeah.
A horse like Yeah, a horse like that, Miss Deputy Star, for instance, you know, kind of caught my eye at first, you know, the one first out and has been away for the winter. But the horse that I actually want to talk about is Bernie Flint with that Starlet Express. And you made her 4-1. So there was something you liked, second choice. I love horses like this, and I just brought up Miss Deputy Star. I love horses that, you know, came out at 2, showed some ability. Now they've been gone for the winter. They're going to come make seasonal debuts. They may come back much faster than when they left, and even off the layoff. And so, you know, that's what I was looking for. But I was surprised when I went to see what the line was on Starlet Express that you had her down so low, 4-1.
Yeah, you know, I made her second choice. I mean, you know, granted the numbers are not gaudy, but she was in open company last time out,
yeah.
Showed some speed, got bet down in the race, and faded back to fourth. And, you know, sometimes you don't know what the reason is for a horse or a filly or what have you, why they go on the shelf. And but sometimes you can take a look and see if there's any workouts after a race. And so the fact that she didn't have any workouts right after that race says that something might have happened during the race. I don't know the reason, but you know, she's been working up very steadily since late February down at the fairgrounds, and does have a workout back here at Indiana Grand on April the 8th. She's got speed. She's drawn well. Marcelina Pedroza picks up the ride. She's back in versus Indiana Breds. She's going up against other horses that are coming off of layoffs as well. Looks like the whole field, except for Natty Nora towards the rail, just glancing and everything. Everyone else coming off a long layoff, so almost everyone's in the same boat here. And I think Starlet Express is probably the one to beat in this race. You know, Shine Money towards the outside and made it as the favorite. She ran great on the slop in her debut, came back in a entry-level allowance going long, went off as the favorite, and you know, chased a soft early pace and then faded back to fifth. So she looks like she's certainly a sprinter at this point in time in her career, and she's a very lightly raced 4-year-old filly by Unbridled Express. Miss Deputy Star, if she was drawn more to the outside, I probably like her a bit more. She, you know, she overcame the rail in her debut, and she really had to show some tenaciousness in that race. And she made a middle move with the rail again in the stakes race on a sloppy track in her next start. And, you know, faded back to fifth, but that was a pretty good race. Hungarian Princess is a nice filly. So, you know, Miss Deputy Star is probably my second choice in here. But I do like Starlet Express a bit in this race. And, you know, if you could tell me, you know, a lot of other fillies that are going to go take more money than her, I am all ears because
I don't.
It's a wide open race, to say the least.
Well, if Shy Money also fits that same profile of a horse. I mean, she's older. She's a 4-year old, but that a horse that, you know, was put away for the winter, you know, debuted in October. That was a very good debut effort, and you know, took money, was 5-2 that day. If she comes back and you know, runs anything close to that, she should win here.
Yeah, I mean, so she's the favorite. I made Starlet Express second choice. Both Flint and Shy Money's trainer Aaron West are pretty darn good off of long layouts, which is good to know as well. And we'll see how it goes. Well, this is a big field, and you know, I think one of those three will win it. But you know, these Indiana bred races early on sometimes can make you do a double take every now and then.
Well, and it's always in big full fields like this, and if it looks like a fairly confusing group, you can let some of the jocks and jock agents do some handicapping for you. And on the outside, Deshaun Parker ends up on Beautilicious, a 12-1 shot. You know, Deshaun did not get a win yesterday. He had 3 seconds. And you know, Deshaun Parker's not going to get shut out of too many, you know, of too many cards as the season unfolds. So, you know, keep that kind of thing in mind as well. If you're, you know, if you're looking for, you know, an oddball horse that is a price, Deshaun Parker, a lot of times if I'm sort of confounded, I'll say, well, who's Deshaun on? And mm-hmm. Works out okay. Lonnie Hines. And actually, he hasn't ridden. He's ridden this. Actually, he's ridden this mare one other time, back last year, going 5.5, and actually, horse closed very nicely back when she was looking to graduate. She had to go all the way down to maiden tens. But she's been competitive in allowance company before. You go look at that race in the slop in October, right before the seasonal break.
It took her a very long time to break the maiden.
Yes.
Yeah, she might have the right running style in this race because there's a lot of early speed, and so she's not going to get involved in that. You know that. So she'll be running on late. She's definitely a mare to use, I would say, underneath.
Yep.
You know, it just depends on your confidence. I mean, I'm not, you know, she's not in my top three, but she'd be one. If I'm an exotic player, I'm looking for someone underneath. It's Beautilicious for sure. I'd throw her in there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I agree. As a little half-mile bullet as well last week to 10 days ago to get going for this. All right. We gave some people some ideas, and it's a nice Wednesday afternoon. Bill Downs, I'm excited for the season, and terrific start to the meet, and we'll look forward to talking regularly. And I'm going to look forward to meeting you in person. Zip up to Shelbyville.
Sounds good, Steve.
I appreciate it. Bill Downs, everybody. He's got to get ready for the race day. And you should be following Bill, of course, on Twitter, as well as the whole team. I mean, they, between Rachel and Bill and Martha, and they've got a cast of thousands that are, you know, helping you navigate the action. Bill Downs, number one on Twitter. Bill Downs, one. Let's take a break. And Casey, Seth just texted me. He and this is here's a little traffic warning for everybody. There's a major problem, it appears, on I-87. It appears that a truck hit the overpass. Nothing. This is a classic, and yeesh. So traffic at a standstill. So Seth doesn't know if he's going to be accessible, but give him a try, and we'll wrap up. We can at least look at some Keeneland as well if we can't get to Seth. All right. Back after this, the closeout, the Wednesday get together at the races. SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll free number 888-938-4643.
Where's your head at?
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. Got about 15 minutes, just a little less. Thanks to Bill Downs. That was fun. And doesn't take much to get me sidetracked as we talked about, let's see, we talked about Marquette, Valparaiso, and we we talked about Hoosiers in Milan, Indiana. And you know me, Seth, we talked about the Wisconsin State Fair.
It's Beth Merrill, the At the Races traffic copter.
We need Casey. Do we have the traffic copter noise? We must. That'd be great.
Yeah, I wish I was in a copter. Anybody in the upstate New York area, do not head down the Northway. It's a mess. And then everybody went over to Route 9. That was a mess. So I eventually headed over through Schenectady. I'm now on Route 7. Headed back to the Northway past the traffic blockage, which I guess a truck ran into an overpass.
That's never good.
Somebody's going to be in some trouble. It looks like.
They it's funny. They put indications of how high it is, and so you're supposed to be aware of whether your truck is going to get under those overpasses.
My two nephews do some work sometimes for a high-end furniture guy out in L.A., and they were in New York a few years ago loading up a truck with some furniture he had bought, and they had to drive it back to L.A. So they're driving on the various expressways in the New York City area when they realize their truck is too tall for one of the, so they stop in the middle of the road, don't know what to do. There's some random guy on the side of the highway. They roll down the window. He goes, "I could have told you not to drive down here." Eventually, the cops had to come and block off traffic. They had to back up like a half a mile until they could get off.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that's funny. This of course offers the opportunity to bring that famed anecdote about, you know, letting the air out of the tires to lower. That's the solution that nobody can think of until a kid drives by and says, "Let the air out of the tires."
That's right.
Seth, I wasn't sure if I was going to get you. I was going to maybe bring up some Keeneland. You've been every time I throw on Capital OTB. I mean, you're doing everything. You've been moving around from Oaklawn to Keeneland, Aqueduct. You've got your eyes on the finger on the pulse of everything going on
today. And I'm headed in today. I was planning to be in the studio in time to take the call, but obviously I got stuck up in the crazy traffic. But today, Saratoga Harness in the mix as well. So Saratoga Harness from Keeneland and Tampa later, and I don't have the PPs in front of me. But I'll go back to the weekend and talk a little bit about that last couple of rounds of Derby preps. And with Superstock winning the Arkansas Derby, it was kind of interesting. I looked it up last night, and of the current top 10 on the points leaderboard, four of those were not on the last future pool, which was only mm-hmm. 2.5 weeks ago.
Yep.
The last future pool wound up on March 28th. And four of the horses in the current leaderboard top 10 weren't there. But more importantly, maybe it's notable who they were. It's the winner of the Arkansas Derby, the Florida Derby, the Jeff Ruby, and the Wood Memorial. They weren't on the last leader, the last future pool list of individual entrants. And I think it just goes to show how kind of crazy this Derby prep season has been. Past essential quality. He's really the only one that has shown some some consistency. But given what we've seen over the past few weeks, I'm now thinking with the triple-digit fire, I think Rock Your World goes in with a lot of momentum as far as bettors will consider. And I think Known Agenda is going to take some action.
Known Agenda just by virtue of, you know, of Florida Derby prowess and, you know, the mojo that comes with that, I think absolutely. You know, and it's funny how there's become – I guess it's true no matter who your favorite was going to be, even if Life is Good had marauded his way through the rest of the prep schedule, you know, he would have been under fire. There would have been either an all in or a all against mentality. But, you know, the people are kind of lining up trying to say whatever the price is going to be, let's say 3-1 on essential quality, that it's going to be too low, that they're, you know, between jump up candidates and, you know, him needing potentially a pace. I'll say one thing. I mean, right away yesterday when it became clear that Caddo River was going to run, you know, a lot of people made the connection that, well, gee, the Brad Cox barn is a dual beneficiary because, you know, Caddo River is only going to at least contribute to the pace at the very least. And all that does is maybe spread things out and, you know, provide some, you know, some added support for the way essential quality is going to attack the race.
Yeah, like I said, the triple digit for Rock Your World, I think, is going to attract attention. And essential quality has been consistent. I don't know whether it's been flashy consistent in the kind of way that folks won't look at the Derby season and how topsy-turvy it's been and not want to take a couple of flyers. I'm in that camp. I like essential quality. I'll certainly be using essential quality, but I'll have a couple of prices in the mix. You know, kind of wait and see what the workouts are going to be and that kind of thing. Hidden Stash gets in, and I think Hidden Stash may be a little bit interesting. I think there'll be a couple of horses like that at decent prices that folks will want to take some flyers on.
Well, and we, you know, we continue to wait really now, officially, as we've indicated for, I guess, since early or middle of late last week, that the expectation of Rombauer bypassing Derby for Preakness, that seems to be, you know, have firmed up somewhat. So in that scenario, Dreamshake would be sitting at 20th. Obesos is now still waiting at 21. And the decision from Panadol is really the next, you know, the next shoe to fall in terms of anybody that is not 100% certain, you know, staying healthy, you know, barring any difficulties on that front. So, and also I should reach out on Peter Urton, on the Peter Urton front, if Dream Shake, if they want to go forward as well. So, we're still waiting, but it's you got to figure about 18 of the 20 are locked in.
How far is King Fury now? I don't have the list in front of me.
He's sitting 24th, and, you know, Obeso's 21, Get Her Number 22, Hozier 23, and it's hard to believe that they would run off of that effort, yeah. Because he really did not. It's one thing for a concert tour to have, you know, kind of failed to finish well, but Hozier never offered anything. Then comes King Fury, Hockey Dad, and Keep Me in Mind.
Yeah, King Fury is a little bit interesting, but four out, he's going to clearly need some help. I mean, right after the race, Kenny McPeak in the winner's circle was clearly thinking, yeah, if we could get there, I'd like to go to the Derby. But he said Derby or Preakness, one or the other. So it may wind up to be the Preakness if he's still four away.
Yeah, and again, if Get Her Number, I'm sure, would run. You know, Gary Barber loves to participate, and you know, he's certainly going to want to go. Hozier is the you know, the big agglomeration of SF and Starlight and all that. They're you know, they're pretty gung ho as well. So yeah, it does seem unlikely. You know, you're also of course this. this far out, you're looking at 14, 17 days, chances are somebody's going to get nicked up too. I mean, that's just a reality. Somebody's going to get a hangnail. So we continue to watch. In the meantime, you can at least, you know, get as familiar as need be with this field, and also with the Oaks. We have really been remiss just because the Oaks field had seemed to be so undefined. At least here now, things have firmed up. Search results, travel column, crazy beautiful, Pauline's Pearl, Malathat. I don't think Soothsay is going forward. Clairiere, beautiful gift, the runner-up in the Oaks, Santa Anita Oaks. Will's Secret, I'm sure. Dallas Stewart, Milfay, Mraz, Ava's Grace. Pass the Champagne, who's going to get plenty of support. Maracuja, who ran very well. I don't know if Atrus is going forward out of the Gazelle. So there's your overview, your Oaks and Derby overview. Seth, a quick Keeneland, the music is starting. So a quick Keeneland overview for today. There is a fourth race, two-year-old group, including the first starter for War Correspondent, the Calumet Warfront Stallion. Lieutenant Finn for Adolfo Macias, making a first. That's the first runner for War Correspondent. There's a Violence in here for Tim Ham, San Constantino. That 4-1. Nakatomi for
well
you.
That Violence, first the Violence runner a little bit for Tim Ham. I used that one in the mix. I don't have the BPs in front of me, but I know I used that one because I like the Violence runners as win early types. And I like overall these two-year-old races at Keeneland. I think they're a lot of fun. Normally you can lean on Wesley Ward, but it took him about a week to get one of those two-year-old winners. But I'm sure now that he's gotten one, you can count on him to get a couple more before the meet ends.
Well, he's actually got two in here. He's got a Run Happy. Now, remember, you know, for those that are saying, "Oh, Run Happy's doing better." Run Happy's doing better with the 3-year olds. The potential that he's a sire that, you know, whose progeny, you know, need to mature. This is a 2-year old. Don't forget. And he's also got diehard fans, Nakatomi. Nakatomi, the 10 in here with Joel Rosario, Arnold Zetcher, with Firing Line. So this is a Zetcher homebred. Mark DeTample purchased Nakatomi for $25,000 at Phase-a-Glass Falls. So that's the 2-year-old race. There's some good allowances. I'll put up the selections that Gus laid out, and that'll be up at the website momentarily. And Seth, be safe. I hope you get. I guess I'll see you when you show up at the studio.
I'm right at the exit, so I've almost made it now. And, little Saratoga Harness team in Tampa this afternoon, and much more. I'll be looking at those threats. So good luck to everybody.
Seth Merrow, everybody, and thanks to Seth and Bill Downs. Randy Klopp, that was fun. Pete Fornatel and Sid, talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.